How many of you know what month and what day we're coming up to? Or actually, we're in the month, but what day we're coming up to? At least the world celebrates this. Valentine's Day. Do you like Valentine's Day? I think, I shouldn't maybe say this, but I think sometimes women like it more than men because more pressure is on the man, I think, than a woman. We're supposed to always love our wives, and we do, I think, but sometimes I've got to admit I've been bewildered. I mean, why would the Lord ask Peter three times the same question, basically? But I think we need to discover that it is our Lord's actually most searching question for each one of us. And I think if we look at it in that way, I think we'll find something fresh and new in them every time we read them. And you know, this question, if you really think about it, it expresses the great or enormous concern that Jesus has for each one of his followers. He did not ask this question to a big group of people. He asked the question individually and personally. He asked it first to Simon Peter. But just as truly, I think he could ask each one of us this question. I really believe this is Christ's probably most prime concern for each one of us. And it's quite a question. If you think about it long enough, it goes very, very deep. Christ is not asking here really for anything else. He's not even asking if we love his doctrines, as important as they are. He's not asking if we would bind his teachings to our heart. He's not asking for any of those things. He's asking for basically one thing. Do you love me? Charles Spurgeon, he said it like this. He said, "Brethren, you may take up theological propositions and problems, and you may labor to solve this difficulty and expound that text and this text till the heart grows as dry as the pages of the book you have read. But," he says, "remember, the bookworm may eat at your soul as well as the paper." And he says this, he said, "It is therefore of most importance and such a healthy thing for the Lord to come into your life and into your study and close every book and say to you, do you love me?" When the Lord visited the home of Mary and Martha, turn to Luke chapter 10. Maybe I'll just read those verses. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. They're quite familiar. Luke 10, starting at 38. "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" When the Lord visited this home, we all know this story, but Martha greeted him at the door, and as soon as she had made him comfortable in the sitting room, she went about the kitchen preparing food. But her sister Mary, what did she do? She just went and sat at Jesus' feet. That almost looks like she'd be lazy, right? Most of you moms, you would, if Jesus came to your place, you'd want to prepare a great meal for him, right? I don't think there's anything wrong with what Martha did. But Martha complained that Mary wasn't doing what she had done. And Jesus says, "But Mary hath chosen the better thing." Sometimes, to just sit at Jesus' feet, Jesus desires to have our love above everything else. Everything else. There is nothing, I don't think, as important to our Lord as our love to him. We know how much Jesus loves us. He went to the cross to die for us. It is through that we find salvation. But he also wants to have our love for him. It means so much to him if we love him. The Lord once asked a certain lawyer in Luke chapter 10 again, 25, Luke chapter 10, 25 to 27. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he saith unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know how important it is for us to love the Lord? Excuse me. He said, You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with everything you have. When Jesus asked Peter, Lovest thou me? Those words pierced right into the depth of Peter's heart. And sometimes, you men, you might have had this experience in your life. Your wife might have gone up to you and said, Do you love me? I don't know if your wife has ever done that. I don't know if my wife has ever done that. But sometimes maybe they're wondering that. Do you love me? And that is the same thing that Jesus was wondering here about Peter. Peter, do you really love me? We all know that Peter denied his Lord three times. The Lord had prophesied of Peter that before the cock crow twice, you will deny me three times. And Peter said, I will never deny thee. But we know that he did. And many people feel that's why Jesus asked him three times if he loved him. You probably heard messages on that. And that's probably true. But I just think there's a whole lot more to that than that. What did the Lord mean when he kept re-asking him, Do you love me more than these other men? These men all loved the Lord, didn't they not? I mean, they decided to follow him. Like, they all loved him. But I myself, this is my own thought, but I think Christ probably meant, Do you love me as you claimed you love me, Peter? Do you love me more than all these other disciples love me? We have to remember that Peter boasted to Jesus, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter was bragging. And these words of Peter in reply to Christ's words have made it look like Peter's love for him seemed greater than the rest of the disciples' love for the Lord. And maybe that's why I'm thinking sometimes that Jesus asked Peter, Do you really love me more than these? There's another portion of that, part of that scripture that I sometimes find interesting. We notice that the Lord did not address him as Peter, he addressed him as Simon. Simon was his original name. And at the first meeting Peter had with the Lord, Jesus said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and thou shalt be called Peter. And now he, after all this time, he calls him Simon again. Maybe just to remind him that his sins were those of the mortal man or the natural man, and that they did not originate in Peter, that new man that he was in Christ. Another occasion, we know Jesus said to Peter, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And I think that was maybe Lord's way of probing Peter's heart while not exposing and rebuking him too much in the presence of all those other disciples. But Jesus asks Peter, or Simon again, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And all Peter could say was, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And that was a simple answer. Actually, it was a very good, humble reply. He actually threw the matter of the fact back on the fact that the Lord Jesus, you know everything. Instead of boasting about it, he said, Lord, you know. But still, that doesn't end there. And then the Lord asks one more time, lovest thou me? And this time it says it grieved Peter. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love thee. And the Lord knew Peter loved him. But I think Christ was using this to restore Peter, to equip him for a much, much bigger work, a greater work. And I think we can learn from this. And probably the greatest thing that I have learned from this, and maybe you can learn from this, is that love for our Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest qualification that there is in serving him. It doesn't really matter what you do. It doesn't really matter how you serve. You must love the Lord Jesus more than anything else. Do you love Jesus more than anything else? If you turn to John chapter 21, starting at verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his father's coat, his fisher's coat, unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. So Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Now John recognized Jesus standing on the shore here, and he said, it is the Lord. So what does Peter do here? Peter puts on his fishing coat, and he plunges into the sea to swim to shore to see that he could meet Jesus. Peter's zeal here was so hot that he drew that net single-handedly to shore, even though it was totally full of fish. I often am reminded of this story. Peter had so much fire in him, so much drive in him. It was amazing when you read about him. And that was all good. But right after that, we have the portion that I started with. Jesus asked him, do you love me? All that zeal, all that drive that Peter had was still not what the Lord was really after. I think the Lord gave it to him to be used by him, by Peter and by the Lord, but it was still the love for the Lord Jesus that Jesus wanted to see more. And we can be zealous, and we should be. We should be dedicated to what we do. If you teach Sunday school, you should be dedicated. If you lead youth, whatever, you should be dedicated, whatever. We need to be dedicated. But you must love the Lord Jesus more than that. Jesus, the love you have for Jesus must be above that. You know, the dedication of a person might lead him or her to make great sacrifices. Like Peter did. When he says, I think it's Matthew 19, behold, we have left all and followed thee. We've left it all, forsaken all and followed thee. That is all great. But you know what? That is not necessarily proof of love. The proof of love is our answer to the question, do you love me? It is the same, like I said before, in our marriages. The proof of our love is how we answer and how we act toward our spouses. So a few years ago, when a young lady wanted to teach Sunday school, and she actually came up to me after church one time and she asked if she could teach Sunday school, and I just directed her to the Sunday school, or the ones that are in charge of Sunday school. And then I asked her, why would you want to teach Sunday school? And she said, because I love little children. And I said, that's awesome. That's awesome. You need to love little children. And then I said to her, but I have another question for you. And she says, well, what is it? I said, do you love Jesus more than you love little children? And she says, yeah, actually I do. And you know, brothers and sisters, that is still the greatest qualification. You must love Jesus more than anything else. Today, when you came to church, I hope you came here because you love the Lord Jesus and you love the fellowship and you love one another. He's asking all of us today, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Then go and help others. Then go and nourish others. Then go and serve others. But we must love him first. And it seems like such a simple thing to do. It does. But it's not. The disciples, they had been with Jesus, I believe 3 years that he taught them. He tried to help them. And yet he had to, at the end, ask them, do you really love me? It is of most importance. So I just want to encourage us today that we would take this lesson to our heart. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, it says like this. I should know it off by heart. I think I do, but... Second Corinthians 5, verse 14. You know what it says here? It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if he died for all, then we're all dead. That's the first part there that I wanted to share with you. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That is what holds us together. It is the love for Jesus Christ. Christ's love for us, we love him in return. So as you go through this week, this Valentine's Day week, or whatever you want to call it, let's remember this. As we show love to our spouses, to our families, to our parents, or to whoever is around us, remember, our love for Jesus comes first, and then we can love everybody else. Shall we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for, first of all, for loving us before we could ever love you back. But Lord, we also want to thank you for giving us that free choice that we can love you above everything else. Father, when you asked Peter 3 times if he really loved you, it hurt Peter. It grieved him. And maybe it grieves us when you have to keep asking us if we really do love you. But Heavenly Father, this morning we come and we say with humble hearts that we do love you. If it wasn't for you, Lord Jesus, where would we be today? If it wasn't for you, Lord Jesus, for coming down to this earth and going to the cross to die for us, where would we be? Through you, Lord Jesus, we can be restored. We can be built up. And Father, this morning, that is our prayer, that we would love you above all else, and then everything else, I believe, will fall into place. Our love for each other, a love for our brethren, sisters. So, Father, this morning, as we have looked into your word, may it have spoken to us. We do thank you for it. We thank you that we can have the Bible in front of us every day, and it can just speak to us. So thank you, Lord, for this time. We do pray your blessing on your word. In Jesus' name, amen.